Hello and welcome to the Street Talk podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shruti Jananda and today I have with me a very special guest, Ashish Somaiya, who is the CEO of White Oak Capital. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Somaiya.
Hello, hi Shrutish. Thank you very much for having me again. It's my pleasure.
Well, so the first thing I want to put it across to you is that, you know, most of your PMS funds are from the multi-cap category and they've given more than 50% kind of return, at least in the last 1 year basis. Now, the last 1 year has been critical with respect to, you know, decision making as we were in the middle of pandemic. So what was your strategy?
So I think, you know, at White Oak, a couple of things we are very clear about. I mean, one is that we certainly don't take any macro or any top-down kind of bets. So the idea is to remain fully invested at any point in time in you know, sectors and segments where we think that there is relative value or, you know, what we call price-value gap. But definitely we desist from taking any kind of top-down call, you know, in terms of this is how the market cycle will play out, or these are the sectors which will do well, or this is how interest rates will pay out. So we don't actually, we think that, you know, macros are something which one really cannot forecast. We believe that, you know, they are more like a coin flip, you know, sometimes right, sometimes wrong. But in fact, last 7-8 years in my experience has the biggest example of why macros have increasingly become complex and why they cannot be forecasted. So, you know, the best is to, you know, do your own bottom-up work, form your own hypothesis about how companies will deliver in terms of free cash flow over and above their cost of capital. So, you know, we are always looking for the companies which will deliver to our expectation basis our own valuation framework and investing philosophy. And I think that is what we have continued to execute even in the last one and a half year.
And, you know, did COVID-19 impacted PMS industry or, you know, with rise in markets, you also saw a rise in inquiries and more people and investors willing to invest?
Yeah, you know, see, I think, first of all, what is important to note is that ultimately we all are operating in the asset class, which is equity, which is where the growth orientation really is. Mm-hmm. Because if you see the last 15, 20 years in India, you know, interest rates have been deregulated. We are no longer living in an era where, you know, risk-free, tax-free, people could make 9, 10, 11% kind of returns. Back when I started my career in 98, 99, you know, the RBI used to issue bonds on behalf of the government of India, which were called those relief bonds, and they used to fetch 11% tax-free and, of course, risk-free. So back then, you know, investing in equity was not really required, if you ask me. But, you know, now we all are very clear that equity is the way to go if we want to participate in the growth and if we want to beat inflation and if we want to surmount this low level of interest rates. So equity is the space. Now, within that, clearly, you know, people can invest directly. People can go to mutual funds or people can come for a PMS, etc. So in my experience, I can just tell you, let's say 2012, I remember the entire equity mutual fund industry was about 1,75,000 crores. PMS as an industry was less than 10,000 crores and AIFs pretty much did not exist. But fast forward to today, equity mutual fund industry is probably about 14, 15 lakh crores. You know, so it has, you can say it has scaled almost eight, nine times. But look at the PMS industry from less than 10,000 crores. It is now, I think, somewhere near 2 lakh crores. And leave aside the real estate and private equity. If I just look at equity-related AIFs, my sense is that is also from zero. It has crossed about 1 lakh crores. So the alternate space, you know, which is PMS and AIF, that has actually scaled faster. So equity as an asset class itself has gained traction. Right. But within that, PMS and AIF seems to have gained or grown at a faster clip as compared to the, you know, mainstay of mutual funds.
Now, markets at record high, what does that make you feel, you know, more bullish or cautious given the fact that the economy is still not out of the woods?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that I'm cautious right now. I'm a little, I can't say overwhelmed, but a little surprised with the enthusiasm and the sustained rise, you know, even, well, yes, you know, 2020, we were suddenly thrown into a deep trough. And then, you know, we saw that the economy kind of recovered. So the second half of 2020, we saw that we regained where we were. You know, by November, we were back to 12,500.
Right.
So 2020 was different. But if you see now, we are in 2021. All that recovery, you know, that trough and emergence from the trough is behind us. Mm-hmm. But 2021 BSE 500 is, I think, what, another 16-17% up as we speak. So why I said I'm cautious is because, you know, if you see last year, the market was down in the dumps and then there was a fast recovery because the economy surprised on the positive. In a span of 4 or 5 months, we got vaccine. And, you know, the activity from the central banks was quite unprecedented. And companies also, you know, they regained pre-COVID volumes. And plus, of course, you know, because there is no travel, there is no advertising, there is no marketing. People are working from home, etc. And all kinds of input cost, interest rate, everything was low. So we saw that volumes came back to pre-COVID levels, but margins expanded. So if you see March over December, December over September, September over June, successively every quarter, the results have been fantastic. But as we speak now, unfortunately, we've been thrown back into another trough, you know, with the second wave. And we know that the lockdowns in the second wave are as bad as last year. And the economic disruption might be possibly of a comparable magnitude as well. So today, where the market is celebrating what happened last year, the market is celebrating vaccination, the market is celebrating central bank actions, market is celebrating everything, but market is probably not factoring, or at least I don't know what is the impact of second wave, let me put it that way. You know, market is supreme. It's the sum total opinion of millions of smart people. So let me not question what the market is doing. But I would say that, yes, definitely, I'm a bit surprised with the continued or sustained optimism in absence of any information or data about how companies are faring right now. Sure. And that we will know only over the next two result seasons, you know. So when June quarter results come in July and August and September end quarter results come in October and November, only then we will know. What is the extent of disruption? Is it just a hiccup or a speed bump, or is it something more?
And so what is your view on the small and the mid-cap space? I think they've also been pretty resilient, you know, in 2021. They've outperformed in 2020 and they've been pretty resilient in 2021 as well. So what should be the strategy of investors while picking, you know, stocks in this space at this point in time?
I have always been a big votary of investing in small and mid-caps. And you know, I have no reason to believe that small and mid-caps companies or their managements are in any way inferior to large caps. The way to look at it is that, you know, in our country, there are certain segments or sub-segments or sectors of the market which are yet underdeveloped or underpenetrated. And hence, you know, some of these leaders are also small and mid-cap companies.
Right.
So at White Oak, at any point in time, half of our portfolio, you know, we run only multi-cap, like you rightly said at the onset. But any point in time, half of our portfolio is roughly in small and mid-cap. But the way we look at it is that, you know, even within small and mid-cap, what we own is leadership of any sector or subsector of the industry. So I've always been a votary of investing in small and mid-caps. I understand your question is more here and now. So when I'm saying that I'm a bit cautious about the market, that pretty much applies to everything. Right. I'm not trying to just give a negative view or something. I just feel that there is reason, you know, all these things are probabilistic. So when you consider probabilities, you should keep in mind where you are coming from. And today, I think market is fairly poised, or, you know, it's very interestingly poised. And from here, it can go either way.
Now, how are FIIs looking at India? You know, we saw some outflows last month as well.
We do get some opportunities to interact with global investors investing into India. You know, because at White Oak, we have, you know, within the group, we have investment management license in Singapore.
Okay.
And in fact, we manage over 3 billion for global investors investing in India. So what we have seen is that, you know, over the last year, there is a sustained increase in interest, at least, to look at India as a, you know, more like a single country or a strategic exposure. So while, yes, you know, like you pointed out, there have been some intermittent bouts of selling or negative flows. But if you ask me directionally, there is a lot of positive interest. And I can say that it is significantly higher than what it was, say, a couple of years back.
Well, that's good news for India and Indian markets as well. And is CapEx revival a theme that you're looking at, or investors, you know, would be interested in? Which sectors will be front runners in that category?
Yeah, so, you know, just to caveat some of the things we were discussing, like, you know, when I was saying that I'm cautious about the market, that was more here and now. As you will appreciate, that is more about how one is looking forward to things playing out in the next 3 to 6 months.
Okay.
And, you know, the increased uncertainty and at the same time, very, very optimistic, you know, market action. So all those views are more here and now. What you asked me about, you know, FII interest, etc., that also I would say is more, you know, some weeks or some months, there may be intermittent selling or withdrawal. But the long trend is that incrementally they are more and more positive. So, you know, growth prospects in India, recent reforms from the government, globally, you know, very high liquidity, low interest rates. the expectation that after a long bout of underperformance, now emerging markets could actually turn out to be countercyclical to where the US is. So many of those expectations being there, I think the medium to long term prospects, they do continue to remain very, very positive and quite bullish. And I think that is where the interest is coming from domestically as well as globally. So conviction hasn't changed. I would say with the reforms,
right,
conviction has only strengthened. Now, on your question on CapEx revival and, sectors, I'm not sure if one can say that, there is a unidirectional or a unanimous consensus that we can see private sector CapEx emerging really. I would have said that, yes, maybe it's now going to get postponed or delayed or become a bit uncertain. Because if the second wave hadn't come or if the second wave was not half as intense as it has been, then certainly one would look forward to it, because we were seeing that volumes were rising, economic activity was picking up,
right,
and there was a clear sustained trend. There was a clear trend after the way we emerged out of the trough. The trajectory was very clear. But, I have reasons to fear that, this whole second wave is more than a speed bump. So now one has to wait and watch. A new trajectory has to emerge out of where we are, and then we can form an impression in the next 3 to 6 months. So I don't find it comfortable to to call out that, okay, yes, there is a big revival in private sector capex. When you talk about sectors, yeah, definitely, the production linked incentive, and what is happening in the, engineering, manufacturing, outsourcing segments, what is happening with certain sections of IT and the digitally savvy IT companies, what is happening in, say, capital market linked entities. I think there are clearly some benefits, or, there are clearly some silver lining to whatever has played out in this whole COVID phenomena. And those are the ones which are gaining traction. Like if you see pharma, chemicals, like I said, the everything linked to production linked incentive and the excitement around that space, that is clearly attracting new investments. So there are a few, more than a few silver linings. But in terms of pronouncing a big revival, like I said, it is still wait and watch.
Well, on that note, thank you, Mr. Somaiah, and listeners for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.